Turn with me to three places this morning. Psalm 62, we're going to go back to our original verses for Faith Without Borders and revisit that a little bit. If you are new to Believer's Chapel, man, we love you. We thank God that you are spending today with us. Make no mistake about it, man. I believe that God can change all of our worlds this day in His Word. We have our picnic coming up September 27th in 2 weeks. Wes Arum is coming down. Folks, we're looking for a serious outreach. We have ordered so much chicken. All I'm asking that you do is you bring a lawn chair and dessert. That's it. And we set up a huge tent, rain or shine, man. We're totally rolling with this thing. So bring out your neighbors, your friends, the people you work with, college students. Fill this tent. This is a welcome back picnic to the college students, as we absolutely love our students in this church. We love them. And we thank God for God's direction in your life to change a generation, man. It's huge. Huge. We also have, if you are being baptized, please, I need to see you after church today. Just come up, check your name off the list that I've talked to you. I've got to see you. If you're being baptized, you're here today, please come see me right up front after this. And as you can see, folks, we are packed. The parking lot is packed. We're doing everything we can to fit as many people in this small box that we can. And it's just, isn't it amazing that we're not a fancy bunch, folks? We're not. We don't do things. We have a brown box. That's what we have. We're not really a fancy bunch. We have some nice lights. That's cool. Candles, that's pretty neat. But we're not a fancy bunch. But God is doing an incredible work in the lives of people, because Believer's Chapel will always be about people. Why? Because God is always about people, and Christ the Son came for people. So we have one direction, man, and it's people. That's it. That's how simple we are. That's how simple we are. It's our little brown box. It's full. And we're going to three services come October 4th. Blows me away that we have to do. I mean, I'm just so amazed and blessed that you choose to be here week after week. Thank you. But we got 9 o'clock service, doesn't change. 10:45, which changes a little bit for this service, 10:45. And then the 12:30 service. I have no idea. I will tell you in a year how the 12:30 service is going. No clue what that's going to be. I know it's football season and people, for some reason, getting all excited about the Bills. You hear it every year. Every year, this time, like game day. Oh, they're going to the Super Bowl. My dad, for 25 years, game day. First day of the season, they're going to the Super Bowl. This is playoff year. Really? Dad? I know about third game in, that doesn't happen, but I don't know what's going on. Listen, man, I like the Bills. I like the Bills. It's every year. These Bills are, they're resentful. I love it. I love it. I think it's great. But every year, oh, this quarterback. We haven't had a quarterback since. Anyways, come on. I got to preach. You're taking up my time, Buffalo. Come on. But this is the deal. If you are a late riser and you want to go out for breakfast and then come to the 12:30 service, I think that would be awesome for this church. Because I don't know how many people are going to come in football season and all that, but if you are saying, man, we are going to go out for breakfast and then we're going to go to the house of God, man, you can come to that 12:30 service. That would be awesome. Just awesome. Come on, three places, please. Psalm 62, Luke 22, John 21. Psalm 62, Luke 22, John 21. God, we are amazed by you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We love you. Father, we love you. Jesus, you amaze us, and we love you, and we thank you. We welcome you in this place today. We thank you for our time of worship and communion. God, I hope that it was truly worshipful and honoring to you. It was one direction from us, our heart, our response to you in worship. Father, we do owe you everything. Thank you for this day. God, I believe your word is alive and powerful, and it is life-changing. God, speak to us today. Father, please, please give me the words to speak, the exact words. God, you know every heart that's in this place. God, I don't. You know every concern, every hurt, every pain, you know every joy, you know every great season, God, you know us right down to the hairs on our head, God, you know us, you know the color of our eyes, you put them there, God, you know every inch, and God, you know our emotions, you know exactly where we are today, you know what no one else knows, God, Father, please, use me and speak today, please. God, you can do all things. Nothing's difficult for you. You can get through the hardest heart that's in this place today. God, that you'd speak to us, please. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me. I need this today. Speak to me. In Jesus' name, Amen. Come on, this is what it says in Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. Now look at this. My hope, my confidence, my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock, my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. I love that. I mean, that's like aggressive, folks. I will not be rattled. I will not be shaken. Okay, how many times as Christians we stub our toe and it's just like we think the world just exploded, folks. Seriously. Or how many times a significant season, a serious storm comes up in our lives and it rattles us. Where is our faith, folks? Where is our trust? My soul, wait in silence for God only. My hope, my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock, my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. I love this. On God, my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge, my shelter is in God. Look at this, verse 8. Get this, please. Trust in Him at all times. This is where we come to a place to have faith without borders, or a trust that is unconditional. An unconditional trust. I will trust in You at all times. Every season of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That crazy storm of life, a season that seems to last year after year after year. Something is going on. We come to a place. Say, God, I will trust You at all times. That I will come to a place, God, as we have already preached, I'll have enough faith for today. Pour out your heart before Him. Folks, do you do that? Do you come to a place to understand God knows your heart, and we are called to pour out our heart, to just drop it and to release it and to let it go before Him? Because what? He is a refuge. He is a shelter for us. Can I ask you a serious question? When's the last time that you poured out your heart to God who inclines? It's amazing to me that when we begin to cry out to God, He inclines His ear to hear us, that we would come to a place to say, God, I will trust You no matter what. I will trust You at all times in the worst seasons of my life. God, I will not be shaken. Because I want to take us to a place today in Luke 22, please. That you will see where one of the disciples was shaken. All the disciples actually were shaken. But there's one in particular that Jesus pinpoints. You can see this. We see in Luke 22 that this is like the end, man. This is the last hours. Literally, hours. They've walked with Jesus, have seen His authority, have seen His power, have seen Christ heal, have seen Christ raise the dead, have seen Christ eyes go back, disease gone, have seen Christ power over the authority of the enemy and demons, have seen it and walked with them, and then they've seen Christ in His love, and they've seen Christ in His forgiveness, and they've seen Christ in His compassion, and guess what? They've always, always seen Christ at His best, always, because He doesn't have anything except for His best. That's where the disciples are. Man, they've seen Him at His best all the time, every day for 3 years. And this is the final hours, folks. Jesus has communion with His disciples. It's amazing. Right after that sensitive time of communion, I mean, just like we just had, a very sensitive, amazing time of communion. Right after that, while at the dinner table, the disciples go into this discussion of who's greater, like who's the best servant, like I'm better than you. I mean, could you imagine this? I mean, they've been with Christ. This is the final hours. This is the last ditch. He just had communion with them. And they come into a place to put self first. And they begin this argument and say, well, I'm better than you. Well, I'm a greater servant. Hey, who's the greatest servant? And I could imagine Jesus going, seriously, Father, this is what we're leaving behind? These are the ones who are going to change the world? And then He goes right into this. In verse 31, He says this, Simon, Simon. I mean, I love it. He gets attention. And Peter at this point was really the leader of the crew. If you really read the Gospels, Peter's the spokesman. Peter is the one that he would go to. He called Peter the rock. And he comes to a place to look at the leader and he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you as wheat. Okay, that just doesn't sound good, right? I mean, it's just like, I mean, like, seriously, if you're in a conversation with somebody and they're like, listen, Sean Overfield, listen, Satan has demanded permission to sift you as wheat. Like, there's nothing good in that sentence. You're like, oh, this will be a party. Like, this is good. Like, you're not thinking that. Like, Peter's like, what? But you got to understand something. When you understand Satan has demanded permission to sift you, here in verse 31, the you is plural. He's talking to all the followers. He's talking to all the disciples here. When you understand what it means that Satan looks for that opportunity, when you understand what it means to sift his wheat, it's really talking about you take wheat and they would put it in this big sifter and there would be this violent, violent, violent shake until the wheat, that which was real and authentic, was left, and all the junk and all the garbage and every burnable substance was falling to the ground, and it was the sifting and it was the shaking and it was this violent deal to see that which was authentic come to the top. And Jesus says, listen, the one who's called Satan, the devil, the evil one, the murderer, he says this, the one who is the ruler of darkness, the one who's ruler over the demons, the one who is the angel of the abyss, yeah, him, he's asked permission to see if you're real. The Bible says in Revelation that Satan stands before the throne day and night accusing the brethren. Please hear this. If you are one who've come to know Christ as Savior and Lord and you've been adopted by God, folks, guess what? You are the brethren, and the enemy stands before the throne accusing you and accusing me. Could you imagine where Jesus comes to Peter and he says this? Your adversary, the devil, the enemy, the evil one, has asked or demanded permission. Folks, what is it when we really understand the enemy can't do anything without God's permission? You've got to know that. We see it in Job. We see it here. We see it again where he stands and accuses. And we come to a place where Jesus is before Peter saying, listen, he's asked permission to sift you to see if you're real. And then I love this in verse 32. Man, this is some of the most powerful words. But he says this, could you imagine? Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. But look at this, look at this. For when you turn again, when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. This is what Jesus says. Peter, listen, you're about to get shook. You're about to go through a violent transition. He's about to shake you. He's about to rattle you. But hear this, hear this. I have prayed for you, Peter. Folks, when you get the depth of that and understand that Jesus prayed for Peter, we understand in John 17 what he prayed. Father, keep him from the evil one. This was a part of his prayer. Peter, I have prayed for you. And man, in verse 32, this is amazing because in verse 31, the you is plural, but he brings it right down to Peter, the you in 32. But I have prayed for you is very singular. This is me and you now, Peter. This is me and you. This is where we're at. You're about to get shook. But I prayed for you. You're about to go through a test to see what you're made of. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Look, put up 1 Peter, please. I want you to see this. When you get the depth of this, Peter went through his thing, and we're going to cover that. But this is what he writes. Be sober spirit. You think he knew a little bit about the enemy. Be sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him. How? Firm in your faith. Listen, you go back to this. You go back to a place in Luke 22 where Jesus says, listen, he's asked permission to sift you, but I pray for you that your faith may not fail. This, listen, when he goes on this, listen, your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Look what he says here. But what? Resist him. That resist, it means to stand firm. Stand firm in what? Your faith. You think Peter got this? You think he understood? Through the battle of what we're going to about to describe, he writes, when he writes, he says, listen, the enemy, he's looking for you. Just as he did to me. But he says, what I've learned is when you resist him, and the word resist here, it means to vigorously oppose. Again, we can't mess around with this. When you have a depth of honor, he is the angel of the abyss. The abyss is this deep, dark hole that we just look at. You could fit this picture of abyss. It means it's like this endless blackness. And there the enemy stands as an angel saying, come. Peter knows a little bit about this because he writes, listen, vigorously oppose him. How? Stand firm in your faith. You want a faith that has no borders. You want an unconditional trust in him that you would come to a place. And we see this right here. Verse 33, Peter says, Lord, with you I am ready to go to prison and to die. What are you talking about when I turn back? I'm on my game. What are you talking about that he's going to sift me like wheat? I can handle this. I'm ready to go to prison for you. I'm ready to die for you. What do you mean when I turn back? What do you mean? Is there a failure ahead for me? No way. I'm willing to give my life for you. And they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then hours later, there's this huge commotion, and the army's coming to arrest Jesus. The Bible says there could have been up to 600 folks. I want you to see when he says, listen, I'm ready to go to prison and I'm ready to die for you. He meant that at that moment, knowing I've walked with Jesus. I've seen his authority. I know he's all powerful. I know he knows all things and I'm going to walk with him. And here the army comes to arrest Jesus. What's Peter do? The Bible tells us he takes out his sword and he tries cut. And I believe he's trying to cut the guy's head off, but he misses. Listen, he's a fisherman. I can't blame him. He misses and he cuts off the high priest's slave ear. Could you imagine that scene? Here they're coming. Jesus, stand back. I got you. Just wham. I mean, he's one against about 600. Do you think he meant it at this moment right here? He said, listen, I'm ready to die for you. And all of a sudden they come and they arrest Jesus. And he begins to see the tides are beginning to turn. It is funny, folks, how brave we are when Christ is right by our side. Then he gets taken to a place. Then you go a few hours later. After he draws his sword to try to protect his king, literally, he's in these shoes. Luke 22, verse 56. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight, looked intensely at him and said, this man was with him too. But Peter denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. What? Satan's going to sift you as wheat, Peter, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you turn back again, woman, I don't know him. And Jesus tells him, you're going to deny me three times. No way. Not me, Lord. No way. First denial. Second denial. A little later, another saw him and said, you are one of them too. Peter said, man, I am not. I don't follow him. I'm not a part of that crew. And again, after about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too. You're with them. You're a part of them. You're one of those followers of Christ. And look what Peter says. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. I love this. And Jesus said, folks, listen, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. And he says this, while he was still speaking, in his third denial, the Bible says, while he was speaking, I don't know the man. In the midst of him speaking, the Bible says the rooster crowed. Look at this. I mean, you put yourself in these shoes. One who has followed Jesus for 3 years. One who said, I will give my life for you. I will never deny you three times. No way, God, that will not be me. All of a sudden comes that epic failure of that third denial where the rooster crows and the Bible says this, verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Could you imagine that? Or wherever Jesus was, he looks and he's in eye shot, man, eye contact with Peter. The Bible says Peter remembered. And he went out. And he wept bitterly. You talk about, listen, the enemy is going to shake you, Peter. He is going to shake you. He is going to shake you. He is going to rattle you. But I have prayed for you that when I pray for you that your faith may not fail, for when you turn again. Could you imagine a sense of complete failure in Peter at this moment? The Bible says that eye contact, and he remembered. Man, I told him I would go to prison for him. I told him I would die for him. I told him there's no way that would be me. The Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. Folks, what is this? When you try to wrap your mind around Jesus praying for you, Jesus knew he was going to fail. Jesus knew, he predicted it. You are going to deny me. This is going to happen. And it's amazing when you see Romans 8 says this. Please get this. When you get this picture of what is taking place in heaven, we don't have the full picture. We know there's wow worship going on in heaven. We know that's true. And we know there's a throne set up where God the Father's on a throne and His Son, the risen Lord and Savior, is sitting at His right. And it says this, Christ Jesus, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. And when you understand this, for you and I, those who've called on Christ as Savior, that Jesus intercedes, or He is our advocate. 1 John 2:1 calls Him our advocate. That is, He is our defender. That means He is our representative in heaven. Gang, when you understand this, when you get this, man, I'm going through a season, I'm going through a trial, I'm going through, when we understand, I know the enemy is hitting me and he's coming after me and he's trying to sift me. He's trying to see if I'm real deal. He's trying to check my authenticity. He's trying to really put me through it to see really where my faith is, to know that I have an intercessor, man. I have Christ. And this is not just one who prays. This is one who defends. It goes deeper, folks. This is one who, when we see in Revelation again where the enemy comes and he accuses Sean Overfeld. Look at Sean today. Look at what Sean did. I have a defender who is a lawyer who has not once ever lost a case to stand and say, no, no, no. He is covered by the blood. No, no, no. He belongs to me. No, no, no. He's given his life to me. He is covered. And he defends us when the accusations come from the enemy. Gang, this is all legit. This is what's taking place. How do you wrap your mind around this? That my King, my Savior, my Lord sits really at the right of God to defend me when the enemy comes to make accusations against him. No, 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 no. Sean belongs to me. He has been covered in the blood. And his faith will not fail. That's what Jesus does for me, my advocate. Another word for intercessor is he is my representative in heaven before the throne. My King represents me as a blood-bought saint, one who's confessed that He is Lord of my life, that I have surrendered to Him, and He represents me before the Father when the accusations come. Yeah, but he has failed. Sean has failed. Sean, but I have prayed for him. Sean has failed, but I have defended him. Sean has failed, but just watch his faith not fail. The word fail there, it means cease, come to an end. Just watch, because he will turn again. Amazing that Jesus prophesied to Peter, dude, you will turn again. You will turn again. We see in John 21, I want you to see this. You can imagine the brokenness of where Peter is. You can imagine never forgetting that eye contact. Here now Jesus has been resurrected. He's alive. He's shown himself to disciples on a couple different occasions, and here you've got Peter. He's still carrying this thing. Peter hasn't had that one-on-one that is so necessary with Jesus. Well, there's another case where Jesus is on the shore, and they're rowing in, and Jesus proclaims that it's him, and Peter freaks out, jumps in the water, and starts swimming. It says about 100 yards. Man, that's a football field that Peter's just, he's in clothes, man. He puts on his garments and jumps in to get to Jesus. This is serious, man. This is desperate. I need to get before Jesus. I need to be before Jesus. I'm still carrying this. I need to be before Jesus. Oh, says he puts on clothes and dives in. You could imagine the disciples going, oh, there goes Peter. Left us to do the work. We're trying to put on the nets. And Peter abandons and jumps in. Folks, Jesus had to get before Jesus. It says they all came in, they had breakfast, and then this amazing conversation takes place where Jesus and Peter go for a walk. When you see this, man, it's amazing because Jesus comes to a point. Peter, I prayed for you. That your failure, it's not the end. I have prayed for you that your faith, your dependence upon me, your confidence in me, you again being able to rely on me, that's not going to cease, Peter. That your faith may not fail. And when you turn back, here it is, folks, look at this. Simon, son of John, verse 15. Do you love me more than these? He's on a walk and he's looking back to all the dudes at the fire, at the breakfast table, and he turns back and said, all them right there, your closest, the ones that you work with, the ones in your business, your closest friends, the ones that you love, I know you love them, but do you love me more than them? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, then tend to my sheep. He says this, and he said to him again, verse 16, a second time, I could see him walking, and there's silence, and then there's this eye contact again where Jesus stops and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And then Peter, he says this, he says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. It's the second time he says, then shepherd my sheep. They're walking a little more, and I can imagine a third time the Bible says that Peter and Jesus stop, and you still got the disciples there, and then Jesus again looks directly at Peter. Peter, look at me right here, Peter. Do you love me? The Bible says that Peter was grieved in his heart. He has to ask me a third time. Listen, he says this, you know all things. You knew that I was going to fail. You predicted that. You knew that I was going to deny you. Everything in me said, there's no way. And he believed that there's no way I'm going to deny you, but you knew that I would. You know everything. You know that I love you. Peter, when you turn back again, when you come back to me, strengthen your brothers. I believe it is this third time. You know everything. You know. My heart is yours. Lord, you know that I love you. And it's amazing because when you really see this, folks, and verse 19, his final word to Peter is then follow me. Peter, if you really love me, then you follow me. Peter, if you really love me, then you follow me. Because it's amazing, because if you go to Matthew 4:19, you know the very first words to Simon Peter were? Follow me. This is when he meets Andrew and Peter on their boat. They're by the shore. They've got the fish. And he says, listen, you follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Lay down the nets, and you follow me. And then 3 years after that, he followed him. And Peter went in the whole roller coaster up and down, and he comes to a point where he knows, I love this man. I love Jesus. Folks, how many times, even in our love for Jesus. Please get this. How many times in our love for Jesus have we failed? Come on, let's bow our heads, please. And how many times in our love for Jesus we come back to a place we can just hear our King and our Savior and our Lord saying, when you turn back again, Sean, because I know that you love me. Jesus knows all things, folks. Do you love him? He knows where you're at today. He knows exactly where you're at today. Would your heart be grieved if he had to ask you three times? When he knows all things, do you love me? Sean, do you love me? Come on, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. Then follow me. Then follow me. Then follow me. That you could come to a place today to say, I will trust you. Lord, I will trust you. Come on, let me pray for you this morning, please. And I'm just asking that you would come to a place this morning, wherever you're at, to say, God, I will follow you. God, Jesus, I love you. You know I love you. And I know that I have failed. I know that I missed it. But man, you stand in the presence of God. You are at the right hand of God. And you make intercession for me. You are my advocate. You are my defender against the accuser. No matter what we go through in the sifting and the different seasons of life, that my faith will not fail. Because I have a representative at the throne. You represent me. And I will not fail. My faith will not fail. Maybe there's someone in this place that need to come to a place to come back again. When you turn again. He knew, Christ knew there would be a turning. He knew that Peter would come back. Folks, if you read 1 Peter, 2 Peter, man, you will see over and over and over. Read it over and over. You'll see how he strengthens and encourages the church again and again and again. Oh, God, please, for us in this place this morning. Where are we in this? God, where are we in this message? Where are we in this? God, is it a place where we're going through different seasons? Say, Christ, you're my advocate. Christ, you represent me. Christ, you're my defender. That my faith will not fail. My faith will not fail. And we come to a place, maybe it's many who need to turn again. What do you do after failure, folks? Do you continue to fail or do you turn again? You can imagine Christ asking you, do you love me? You know I love you. Do you love me? You know I love you. Sean, do you really love me? Jesus, you know everything about me. Can you really say, folks, you know that I love you? Can you say that? You know that I love you. There's the turn, folks. There's the turn. I will follow you. I will follow you. Jesus, thank you for this day. Father, by your Spirit, just put this in our hearts. We come back to you today. You're in this place, man. You're saying, listen, I come back today. Today's the day. You know that I love you. You know that I love you, and I come back to you here, right now, right now. I choose to follow you. I choose to follow. My faith will not fail. No matter how far I've gone. Jesus, I belong to you. No matter how far I've gone, I belong to you. I'm yours. I am you. I am blood bought. Jesus, I belong to you. My faith will not fail. I'm yours. Thank you. Thank you for praying for me. Jesus, thank you for being my advocate, my defender. Jesus, you know that I love you. Turn me to you now, here, and I will follow you. Jesus, thank you.